Welcome to Our Voices, Our Future, the podcast where we amplify the voices driving change and equity within medicine and beyond. Brought to you by the Gender Equity Task Force, a committee of the American Medical Women's Association, we're here to challenge norms, break barriers, and ignite conversations that matter. I'm Megan Etsy, and in each episode, we'll bring you candid discussions with leaders, changemakers, and advocates working to create a more inclusive and just world. No more silence, no more waiting. It's time to get our voices, our future. Today, we are welcoming Dr. Amelia Random. She is a family medicine physician with a diverse practice spanning rural emergency medicine, city urgent care, and telehealth. Her medical journey began at St. George's University, where she started school 2 weeks after receiving her acceptance. She went on to complete a family medicine residency, during which she was granted a full medical license to start moonlighting her second year, and served as chief resident during her final year. With experience ranging from New York City to rural Arkansas, she's passionate about healthcare accessibility and mentorship in medicine. So can you tell us a little bit about your experience navigating professional spaces where both assertiveness and likability are expected and sometimes in tension with each other?
Yes, absolutely. So it's normal to want to be liked, right? But then the problem there is that everybody likes different things. Somebody may, you know, really, really like cake and dislike ice cream. That doesn't mean there's something wrong with ice cream. They just don't like it. In a professional setting, there's always a common goal. We're here to achieve something. And then chasing likability shifts that focus away from the goal. It's a little bit directionless. There's always going to be somebody who doesn't like you, and that may have absolutely nothing to do with you. Being assertive, though, on the other hand, it helps direct the movement towards the goal, to focus on the bigger picture. I find that the less you chase likability, the more natural it's going to feel to be assertive. Mm-hmm. There's really no point in chasing something that you can't change. You can't make that person, you know, like ice cream if they just don't. More importantly, it's your core values, you know, your integrity, communication, and your actions that can demonstrate who you are. A lot of people will like you for it, and many won't like you for it either, and that's totally okay. I think that it's way more impactful to be respected rather than to be liked.
It's a very great little line. It's very important to be respected than it is to like. So can you tell us kind of how, in your experience, you've seen assertive behaviors perceived differently in women versus men, respectively, in medicine?
So that's a good question, because it largely depends on who is doing the perceiving. Two people observe the same situation and perceive it two completely different ways. So because of that, it's not something I ever focused on, because again, I can't control that.
That's very fair. Yeah, very fair. Have you ever felt pressured to kind of soften your communication style to be perceived more likable? If so, how did you kind of handle that situation?
No. I have not. But I have learned to refine my communication style to better suit my audience. Mm-hmm. It's important to learn to communicate in a way that puts people at ease. You have to talk to people where they're at, because that way they can understand you, and then you can understand them as well. You can't collaborate if you're not good with communication.
Can you speak a little bit more on how you have learned to kind of meet people where they're at?
So during my chief year, we had, I don't know if you're familiar with Enneagrams. I'm no expert by all means.
Enneagrams, yeah.
A bit of a personality, not a test, but it kind of guides or provides insight into someone's motivations. And so our goal with that was to have everyone take the quiz and then use that as a tool on how I can better help you achieve your goals, or how I can better communicate with you in a way that you'll hear me. Because my purpose there was not to tell anyone what to do. It's to be supportive. And how best do you support somebody? It's understanding their needs and how to address those needs so that they can be the best that they can be. So that's an example of how we would kind of adjust. And with an easy example, if you were to explain something to a five-year-old, you would explain it a lot differently, right, than you would to a friend or somebody your own age. And so that's another example of just adjusting your communication to fit the audience.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Do you think that the expectations around likability create different professional challenges for women and gender diverse physicians?
No. I think that the worry and expectation around being liked is largely an internal struggle and creates a challenge for people in general, not just women or gender diverse physicians. It, you know, focusing on the need to be liked gets in the way of someone's potential because you're focusing on something that you can't change.
Mm.
And be, you know, chasing your tail, essentially. And then because of that, you're not really able to reach your goals and to create change in the profession.
So I think I'm hearing you say it's more of like an internal struggle with each person themselves and their thoughts of needing to be liked. So then I personally would say that wanting to be liked is kind of natural. And how do you kind of dismantle that within yourself to come to that conclusion that, you know what? You don't really need to be liked, you need to be respected.
Because like I said before, you can't change what people like or don't like.
Mm-hmm.
All you can do is, it's going to sound cheesy, but to be yourself.
Yeah.
You can't change who you are to fit what somebody else likes because universal acceptance is not a thing. That's not possible to achieve.
Mm.
I don't think there's anyone or anything that every single person likes. So just getting rid of the need to be liked, just taking that out of the vocabulary makes it easier to be yourself and do what you need to do.
Okay. So how can we kind of work together with leadership teams to really dismantle the double standard that is around assertiveness? So in those who are seen assertive and then not liked because of that assertiveness.
Again, keeping our focus on the bigger picture and then likability go. I'd spoken before about how respect is more powerful and more impactful because respect focuses on someone's qualities, their achievements, and their abilities. Some of it can also come from the type of person they are, their character. I have certainly encountered people who I respected, but maybe didn't really like, but that was nothing on them. That was a preference of mine.
Mm-hmm. It's very powerful to have that introspection and saying that just because you're not a fan of a situation, that's because of you and not because of any external factors. What role does kind of allyship and leadership play in creating space safe at creating space for assertiveness to be recognized as more of a strength rather than this liability where people are looking down upon it?
I think sometimes assertiveness gets confused with aggressiveness or arrogance. And the latter two can definitely be liabilities. A lot of times, you know, assertiveness, there's several ways to demonstrate that, whether it be through your verbal language or your body language. Being assertive isn't necessarily being rude or harsh or mean. I don't think it ever should be that way. When leadership demonstrates assertiveness accordingly and creates a safe space that invites discussion and collaboration, it definitely shows that it's a strength rather than a liability.
So what final piece of advice or encouragement would you offer to those who are striving to be assertive in their authentic self as a leader, particularly women and marginalized genders within medicine?
This might be a really unpopular opinion, but I would shift the focus away from if that leader is a woman or a particular gender or a man or any other label in that sense. What if we just look at that person as the leader? Focus on the character, their integrity, and their message. There's always going to be people who don't agree with you or don't like you, and there's nothing we can do about it. That part we just need to let go. I think focusing on self-development and growing your self-confidence, your vision, your goals, let that lead you forward.
Okay, thank you so much for that. This has been a great segment full of powerful advice in being respected in creating an environment where you are respected. Thank you so much for the inspiration and intel you've given us today.
Thank you, Megan.
So that's a wrap on this episode of Our Voices, Our Future. We hope today's conversation inspired you, challenged you, and reminded you of the power of raising your voice. The fight for equity doesn't stop here. Join us in the movement. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you love this one, share it with someone who needs to hear it. Until next time, stay bold, stay vocal, and keep the conversation going. This is Our Voices, Our Future.